And good morning and welcome to La Porte Church of Christ. It is June 1st, 2025. We welcome you folks out there. We thank you for being here this morning. It's hard to believe that another month has gone by. I hope you enjoyed that message by Pastor Peter. Some are getting closer to the kingdom. And if you're just now joining us, it'll be the message that we play after this live hour. But it's a message that was excited to run across and listen to and remastered this last week. It was one that had never been sent out on video, had never been sent out on audio. It wasn't a cassette tape. It was one that basically was stuck back in the archives. And as I listened to that message earlier this week, I thought, wow, it's, you know, this message was, I think it was preached originally in 1987, and how it was more applicable today than it was the day it was preached. And I just was thanking the Lord for preserving that message. I thought it was really good. Before we get started, we're going to have a song. The song is I've Got a River of Life.
And the blind to see, opens prison doors, sets the captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me, spring up, oh well, inside my soul, spring up, oh well, and make me whole, spring up, oh well, and give to me that life abundantly.
Praise the Lord. And we're going to start off and do things a little bit different. Got several prayer requests that I want to get through this morning. And nothing particularly, not in any specific order, but did have an announcement. Peter Bowe from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, he passed away earlier this month, and he'd been a longtime extended member of the La Porte Church of Christ and of Scriptures for America. He was 81 when he passed away in a farming accident. Just found out about that earlier this week. And we've been keeping the family in prayer. And I know that there's a lot of people. He used to attend some of our gatherings and stuff in Wisconsin and Branson and different stuff like that. And we corresponded through letters over the last several years, me and him have, and really enjoyed hearing from him. But wanted to let people know about that, try to keep people informed. And also, Brother Josh from Louisiana, him and his son Wyatt were on their way out here, and they got in late last night. And his mother-in-law, Miss Terry, had to go to the hospital, and just got a lot of issues that are going on there. My wife had to rush them to the airport first thing this morning so they could get on a plane to head back to Louisiana. So we're going to be praying for Miss Terry. She's she's got some nodules and some tumors and some different stuff that's going on. She's a very repentant Christian. She's wants to get better. And Pat, my wife's grandma, she fell and broke her femur earlier this week and was laying there for several hours before somebody found her, and had a very successful surgery, it sounds like, and but we're just going to continue to play for a rapid recovery for her. And also Dolores, she got a text from Will this morning, and that's his wife's aunt. She had fell and fractured her hip, and was down for about 3 hours before they found her. So they were taking her to the hospital, and we want to lift her up in prayer as well. So we're going to start with that. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we know that there's nothing too great nor too small, and we know that we have not because we ask not. We know that there is healing in the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and right now we come before you and we lift up those that are in need of healing. We come before your throne and we bring these people right there strictly before your throne, and we ask that that healing, cleansing, protective blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ flows into their bodies and heals their infirmities. We ask, Father, that you take the stripes that were due them and that you grant them the healing that they need. Father, we pray for this hip fracture to be mended back together. And we just ask, Father, that you look down upon Dolores and that you heal her from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. We pray for Pat, and we pray for this femur bone to mend back together perfectly and flawlessly. And we pray, Father, that you just keep her blood pressure under check. We pray for Miss Terry, and we pray, Father, that you just purify her body from the top to the bottom, from the inside to the outside, that you remove these nodules, that you grant her a complete and total healing in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for victory in Jesus. We pray that you just continue to cleanse these bodies, that you heal them, that you strengthen them, and that you be with the families that are around them, that are caretaking for them. We pray that you grant them strength, and that you grant them energy and grant them the words to speak. And as we know, sometimes it can be a battle dealing with doctors. We pray, Father, for those that are making decisions to have wisdom that comes from you. We pray that you just grant wisdom, that you grant strength, that you grant encouragement. We pray, Father, for this family that's dealing with the loss of a loved one. We pray, Father, that you just lift them up and that you allow them to find peace and comfort in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for all these things, and we just ask, Father, that you continue to do a mighty and just work with your people and through your people. We pray, Father, for you to purify this land. We know there's a lot of others out there that are in need of healing, Father, and we lift them up to you, and we just ask, Father, that you grant them that healing. Let them turn to you for their health and their healing. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, we've got a message looking at the clock. Brother Zach recorded a message. He's been working on this one for a while. It's titled, "Is Judgment Starts in the House of God." And I think it ties in with Pastor Peter's message quite well. And we'll go ahead and have that, and then we'll be back for communion.
And greetings to the once lost but now found sheep of the house of Israel. Today, this day, June 1st, 2025, we here at the LaPorte Church of Christ welcome all of you out there here this morning. We're glad that you're able to join us. This morning, we are going to skip John 1. I'm sure all of you know it by heart now in identifying who Jesus Christ is. We all know that he's the Word that became flesh, and we all know that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and you guys know the rest of it. But I'm going to start out with a scripture this morning found in Proverbs, and that's found in Proverbs chapter 9, and I begin by reading in verse 9, give instruction to a wise man, and he will still be wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase his learning. I'm going to stop right there. So if you give instruction to a wise man, he'll be wiser. And the righteous man, he will increase in knowledge. The characteristics that these two types of people have, or maybe they're the same, there's different wording, is that they have a teachable spirit, and they are individuals that probably are slow to speak, don't say a whole lot, sit back and listen, and maybe they understand that they don't have everything figured out. Maybe they understand that they might not have their head completely wrapped around a situation or every situation or life in general. These individuals are teachable and they have teachable spirits. Therefore, the quality that they have is they have the ability to listen, and they always have the question in the back of their mind. They might be wrong on the topic of which they are listening about. I hope that makes sense. And they are willing to make the proper mental adjustment in their mind and correct themselves. That's the quality of a wise person. If you teach him, he'll be wiser. And that's a quality of a righteous person. They have an incredible ability to repent. Now, repent, I mean, when a Christian thinks about repenting, they think that it's sin and they're not going to do it anymore. But repenting can come in many different ways. It could be, it could be, repenting could be, many of you know I'm in the tree business. You decide that you are not going to drag brush by hand anymore, and you're not going to load wood by hand anymore, and you repent, and you buy a Vermeer 160 mini loader. Now your level of awesomeness has went up 1,000%. You repented from the way you did it before. You got wiser. You made the mental adjustment. And you made that purchase. And now, instead of being able to only produce $500 a day billable to clients, now you can do $3,500 a day, or whatever it might be. It's because you changed your mind. You changed the lens of which you looked through at a situation. That is the quality of a wise man. That is the quality of a righteous person. I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be a sinful thing, but it's the ability to change. I continue reading. Verse 10. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Stop right there again. Every single week that I'm with you, I identify and define who Jesus is, who God is, what his thought process, by reading you John chapter 1. This is the beginning of wisdom. If you understand that, and you understand that the Bible is the Word of God, and it is God, as it says in John chapter 1, verse 1, then you can operate in his blessings, and you can operate with his approval. And you have the beginning of wisdom, and because you fear the consequences of acting outside of his jurisdiction, of breaking his law, which is actually sin. And you believe that the consequences will not only come on yourself, but it'll come on you and your children and their children and your neighbors and your community and your country. Because of your action, you believe it, and therefore you act according to it. Because you and I don't want to be the ones found guilty of causing God dealing or doling out curses. My brother, there's only a remnant left. But when you fear the Lord, you fear the consequences of what you read in this book. And it's not just burning an eternal flame. It's you're setting the tone for the generations to come. And the ones that are only worried about the flame are generally, it's been my experience, don't give a rip about the tone of which is set up for the generations to come. And that is all biblical. And if you don't have that thought process, that fear, that thing inside you, then you don't have fear of the Lord. You don't know the word. If you don't know the word, then how can you fear it? I continue. Verse 11. For by me, that's the Lord, that's the great I am, the word, your days will be multiplied, your years and years of life will be added to you. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself, and if you scoff, you alone will bear it. You're wise for yourself. That's an interesting statement. Why are you wise for yourself? Because me personally, my knee-jerk reaction is, because you are innocent of the curses that God has to dole out on the land. You're innocent of the curses that God has to dole out on his people and others. I think. I could be wrong. I don't know. But if we are to be wise, we have to have the fear of the Lord, and that is the word, and we fear the consequences of our actions. I honestly believe that we should fear the consequences of our actions even more, of how it's going to affect somebody else. That is what humility is. Me personally, that is how I try to live my life. Very rarely do I do anything for myself. Many times I'm doing things for everybody else, and people still get bent out of shape at me. Which, I guess that's their problem. But, anyways, for you men out there, I honestly believe that that is the mentality that each and every one of us should have as we live out our days on this earth. Take your Bibles and turn over to Peter chapter 4. And we are going to begin by reading in verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing has happened to you. So in your Christian walk, you're going to be tested. That's just the way it is, you know. You're going to have hidden reefs in your love feast and all that other stuff. There's going to be snakes all around you. But if you know the word, you should be able to sniff them out pretty easily. But to the decree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. So, if you're mocked, if you're viewed as a weirdo or whatever, because you don't eat pork and you actually identify what sin is, you know, a biblical definition of sin, and you get mocked by your fellow countrymen, by fellow Judeo-Christians, you know you're in the right spot. You know you're following the right Jesus. Make sure, verse 15, make sure that none of you suffers as murderers or thieves. Am I even in the right spot? Yeah, I am. Or evildoers, or a troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not ashamed, but is to glorify God in this name. Let me go back in verse 15. If you're going to be in this circle, don't be a clown. Don't be mischievous. Don't be causing trouble. You're going to suffer those, you know, don't bring those things upon yourself and the body. Verse 17, for it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? Let me read that again. For it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God. So when was this written? 2,000 years ago? 1,900 years ago? Whatever. I don't know. A long time ago. It is time. It was time then, and it's time now. What does that mean? Well, for the body of Christ, and we know the will of our Father. We know what He desires to have done. We know what He desires how to have others come into His fold. Then that means I think we should judge ourselves. It says judgments begin. Now's the time. Each and every one of us needs to take a good look at ourselves. What have we told other people how to conduct ourselves? What have we told them? Have we told them properly? Or have we given out bad advice? Some good, some bad, in my opinion. I'm guilty of it as well. But we need to be wise individuals and make the adjustments. Verse 18. And if it is with difficulty that the righteous be saved, what will become of the godless man and the sinner? Therefore, those also who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, I exalt the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you. Exercise oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily according to the will of God, and not for solitude gain, but with eagerness. We are to shepherd men, older men, elders. I don't know if I'm an elder yet. It's tough for me to think of myself as an elder. When I think of an elder nowadays, I think of a baby boomer. And I'm a Generation Xer, so I don't think I'm an elder yet. I'm in this position because I was asked to be. I didn't volunteer for it. Didn't necessarily want it. But, honestly, if anybody wants to be in this position, they're out of their mind. But the elders shepherd the flock. So when John was running the show, I would always hear him on the radio say, "Be not many of you teachers. Be not many of you teachers." And that is true. But all you elders, you're supposed to shepherd the flock. That means you're supposed to help guide the ones that are younger than you, the ones that don't have as many revolutions around the sun. You're supposed to teach. Let them know what you did wrong. That way they can avoid the pitfalls and the hard times. That way problems that come for them are more difficult. And what I mean by more difficult is because you help that person bypass a lot of dumb stuff from the generations before, and they are actually, what you're trying to do is to get the younger generation in the mental frame of mind that you're in, so that way they got bigger fish to fry. Because I realized from when I started my line of work, the way that we did it then versus now, it's not even the same ballgame. Our Christian walks should be so much more advanced than from back in the day. Because back in the day, you were a moron. And you're still talking about back in the day and how much better you were, you haven't learned nothing. Then you're not wise. And you're unteachable. You know, there are certain things that I've heard said on this ministry about how to navigate the world. And, you know, I look at it in my 30s, I believed it. Now, I'm in my late 40s. I mean, to take some of the advice that I've heard elders tell me that were supposedly in the know, in order for me to do it that way, I mean, a snowball would have a better chance in hell than me doing it that way. Give good advice in a wise man knows that there are things wrong inside him. And he has to be able to look at that, recognize it, that it's not efficient, it's not quite right, expose it not only to himself, but to be able to share it with others. so that way people don't get tripped up in the same way. You guys hear me talking about this all the time. Hold yourself accountable. Hold yourself accountable. You might be wondering, why am I keep bringing this up? Because there are still people that just, that refuse to accept responsibility for them being a hindrance. I continue. Nor yet as lording over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. You can use your examples of your past of what not to do. There's an old boy there that was on the ministry. I loved him so much. He was so good. He died a couple years ago. He's an old cowboy. And he told me, he goes, everybody will tell you the proper thing to do. He'll tell you how to get to hell, and he'll tell you how to get to heaven. You just got to decipher, you know, what he's doing, and he'll tell you exactly how to get where he's at. Be good example. If you are no good at being prosperous, if you are no good at building, I mean, I'm going to tell you. If you don't know the first thing about being a roofer, don't give advice about it. Let that sink in. If you don't know the first thing about being a roofer, I mean, you kind of get the basic idea. But don't give advice about it. If you're not good at prospering yourself, don't tell somebody else how to be prosperous if you don't know how to do it. Now, that's just the way it is. Like, and then, see, the thing of it is, what I see a lot of people doing, they think they know. They think they know. A lot of baby boomers think they know. But here's the thing. A lot of baby boomers are living off the efforts of their parents' generation. Living off the labor of their parents' generation. That's what they're doing. And then they're going to tell everybody behind them how to do it. Meanwhile, they're robbing off of the generations to come. And you might say, well, wannabe tree guy, preacher guy, how are they doing that? So I was sitting there talking with this guy. I think I told this story before. He was telling me to stay in the game, because he's a boomer, and keep paying my Social Security so that way he's got a secure future. Really? You need to tell me how to, like, what? You're going to take all, like, and then, like, you know, in 20, 30 years when it's, like, let's just say that's my retirement plan, which is not. Judging by the way the generations that are coming, their lack of willingness to work, and in a lot of ways, I can't blame them for not. When you look at the housing prices and you look at the cost of living and to try to get married and keep your wife at home and to have a few kids, I mean, you know, and to get a, let's just say you get a $40 an hour job. Is that enough? No. You're out of your mind. Pay for all that stuff. How are they going to benefit Social Security? They're not willing to do it. You can't blame them. Meanwhile, the people that are in the boat running the show right now, they got it good. Yet they can't see the future. And they give bad advice. be a good example. If you don't have the ability to pull something off, keep your mouth shut. Verse 4 of chapter 5, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but yet gives grace to the humble. This is an interesting verse here. Younger men, likewise, be subject. That means you got to submit to the elders. What if your elders are clowns? I got to tell you, a lot of people gave me, like, I was talking with, like, how do I want to put this? A lot of people gave me advice in my 20s, in my 30s, and into my, until I hit about 43 years old. I just had to have a come to Jesus moment. Like, I'm sitting there, I'm looking at my financial situation, and here's the thing. There's, like, myself and, like, one other dude that I know of on the ministry, maybe two. The Raging Cajun might be one of them. He's pretty savagey, though, so I don't know if he had a hard enough, as hard of a time as me and this other guy. To sit there, be told our, like, to be explained to, how do I want to put this? I kept my wife home. I paid for all my children. I bought a house. I was making like 25 bucks an hour up until 4 or 5 years ago. I looked at my situation. I had no retirement plan. I had no plan. I did have a plan. I worked my tail off. Never getting any farther. Trying to do everything the way all my old elders told me. And then I finally had to come to the realization they didn't know what the heck they were talking about. And then I started looking at them, and they didn't have to climb the hill that they set me to climb. And then I was sitting there thinking, maybe I'm the only cat that was dumb enough to even climb the hill and believe them. Be a good example. Teach how people how to be prosperous. Don't sit there and tell them to, you know, like, don't tell them, don't give them bad advice. Tell them how to live in this system and be prosperous, and yet try to fight it and fight it. Because there's a way to do it without sin. There's a way to do it with being innocent as doves. Turn with me to Luke chapter 9. I'm not going to be able to, I'm not going to have time to read all of that. Let's start in verse 51. Wait a minute. No, 50. But Jesus said to them, do not hinder him. So what was going on there is the disciples seen some guy, I'll just back up. The disciples seen some guy keep throwing demons out in the name of Jesus Christ. Now Jesus had his ministry going on at this time. And they looked at him like, who's that guy? He's not part of us. But that other individual, I think he understood authority and was throwing demons out in Jesus' name. And the disciples got all huffy and puffy about it. And they're, you know, I'm kind of getting in the mid-story here, but that's like the setting of what was going on. But Jesus said to him, do not hinder him, for he who is not against you is for you. When the days were approaching for his ascension, he was determined to go to Jerusalem. And when his messengers ahead of him, they went and entered the village of the Samaritans making arrangement for him. But they did not receive him because he was traveling towards Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, Do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what kind of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's life, but to save them. You did not know, you don't know, these guys, let me back up, these guys didn't know what spirit they were of. They were on a high horse. They earlier got slapped around saying, you don't mess with that guy that's casting out those demons. And then they were dealing with rejection from a town, and they still didn't have their minds right, and they wanted to call fire down on them. And Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you are of. What do you think Jesus was thinking? Me, personally, these guys think that they're so smart and they got everything figured out, and basically, they're God. They think they know God better than God. They think they know God would do what God would do. Jesus is like, no, I came to save lives, the lives of men. But you don't know what spirit you are of. Sometimes I don't. Always be judging yourself. Always be looking at yourself and like, is this the advice I should be giving? Is this the moves I should be making? Is this going to set out a good tone for the generations to come? And what I'm doing right now, is this going to set their future up to be prosperous or cursed? Blessed or cursed? That's the mindset. What these guys want to do? These were disciples of Jesus Christ that could see them physically, and they're over there thinking about calling fire down. Now, I'm not saying there's not a time to be wanting to call fire down. I'm not saying there's not a time that it's not proper to call fire down. All that stuff comes with wisdom. Time wasn't right. If you have your Bibles, turn to me to Leviticus. I did not mark it. Chapter 26, verse 17. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 17. Now this is penalties of disobedience of the law of God. Penalties for sinning. In other words, I will set my face against you so that you will be struck down before your enemies, and those who hate you will rule over you, and you will flee when no one is pursuing you. Let's read part of that again. And those who hate you, now this is a country as a whole, talking to a country, those who hate you will rule over you. Enemies of Israel, enemies of God, their job is to rule over God's people when they're sinning. Now we are a remnant. And what do? We complain about what the government's doing. We complain about what some organization is doing, beating us, taking over our land, taking over our business. They're supposed to. Who am I and anybody else to give bad advice saying that they don't have the right to do that? When that is God's action, that is God's curse. That way God's people know who they are. He's always talking. Why would you get upset about it? Why would you give bad advice on, you know, why it's there? Why are you offended? Why are people offended? Because they don't know the Word of God. We have to judge ourselves properly in order to build up the body. And we have to know ourselves personally how to navigate this world and to be prosperous in order to give advice to the younger men. If I didn't care about everybody, then I wouldn't keep talking about it. I sit there and I look at some of the old boys around that are still in my line of work, and they try to tell me how to do stuff. And those are the guys that train me, and I'm not bad-mouthing them. But the way my industry has evolved is evolved for the better. But I listen to people, and they still want you to be back in 1995 or 1985. Their brains are still stuck there. And they're telling you how to navigate it that way. Same way with church life. Kind of changed. There's a reason why we have this political system over top of us. There's a reason why wicked people are prosperous. It's because people don't pay attention to the Word of God. I don't understand why we say, they shouldn't be doing that. It's self-inflicted as a society. We need to be saying it's our fault. We need to be saying this is how we're going to change it. Every day, make little changes in our own lives and encourage the body to make changes in their lives. Now, I don't want to know everybody's dirty laundry. I could care less. But I think you get the point. You might think I might have a little chip on my shoulder. I probably do. Yeah, I do. There's a lot of ways I feel like I wasted my 30s. And I'm not going to sit there and cry about it, but I'm just getting more savagey. Colossians chapter 3, I'm going to read in verse 21. Now, I'm going to use this principle as we read in Peter chapter 5 about the elders being the example to the younger generation, kind of like a father-son figure. Colossians chapter 3, verse 31. Or, excuse me, 21. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will lose heart. Why would they lose heart? Why would they be exasperated? Because the fathers didn't know what the heck they were doing. And then, when the children realize it, see, here's the thing. If you're half right, and the children realize there's a lot wrong, the baby gets thrown out with the bathwater, and that's what you're trying to prevent. So think about what you say. Think about what you do. Think about what kind of example you are. Are you living in prosperity that you created, or are you living in prosperity that was handed off to you? If it was handed off to you, keep your mouth shut. You don't know what the heck you're talking about. I don't. Like, this job I have here, I don't really get anything about it. But I do it because I believe in the mission. I have a full-time job I mean, I run hard. I'm building. And I don't have everything right all the time. And I screw stuff up. And I tell you what, when I screw stuff up in the world that I'm in, I mean, it's expensive. But I'm glad for every bill that I got. But I keep going forward. No matter what. You sit there, it's like this. You sit there and you listen to other preachers. Their existence depends on whether or not their congregation believes them. It does. My existence doesn't depend on that. I'm out killing it. And I think I'm a lot more truthful than all them clowns. I mean, Pastor Peters used to call them dirty birds. And he was right. But those people need them guys, them dirty bird preachers need those people to believe the lie, to pay them. I'm not in that situation. I want you to be prosperous because of what I said. I don't need your help. I don't want to be the cause of any hindrances in your lives because you believe something that I said to be true that wasn't true. I'm trying to help you. A lot of times, everything that I say to you, a lot of things like, is because during the week, something come up and just kicks me right in the teeth. And, you know, you just got to bear down and take it. So judge yourself. Know what your strengths are. Know what your weaknesses are. And don't pretend that where you're weak, you're strong. And here's even worse. If you're weak in an area and you think you're strong in the area, that's even the worst. That's even a worse spot to be. I know a lot of people like that. That amount of time. For those of you who are his, may he bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and grant you peace. Out.
Thank you, Zach. Appreciate that. As Zach was talking about judging the body and judging the body rightly, I turned to the scripture, and I think it's appropriate for communion this day. 1 Corinthians 11, I'm going to start reading in verse 27. It says, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judge ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, disciplined by the Lord, so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that you will not come together for judgment. The remaining matters I will arrange when I come." Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you to eat of your flesh and drink of your blood, we just ask, Father, that we judge ourselves rightly. We pray, Father, that we come before your throne, and we pray that you look down upon us and that you purify our hearts, our minds, our spirits. We ask, Father, that as we come before you and eat of your flesh and drink of your blood, that we forget none of the benefits. We come remembering the price that gives us access to you and to your throne and to your table. Oh, Father, we're thankful for the blood that was shed, things that our Lord and Savior took for us. We're grateful, Father. We're humbled, Father. We just ask, Father, that we, as we partake, those that partake with us out there, that we partake in a worthy manner. We pray things and just ask, Father, that you continue to lead us, guide us, and direct us in the upcoming week, that you heal our bodies, that you purify our minds and our spirits, and help us to have more of that mind of Christ this week than we had last week. That we can be found doing better this than we did last week. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may partake. And stay tuned for the message, Some Are Getting Closer, by Pastor Peters. Thanks, folks.
Time goes surging like a river. Life is swept away like sand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to His unchanging hand. You better hold to God's unchanging hand. You'd better hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Trust in Him who never changes. Whatsoever year should bring, friends forsake us, to Him we may surely cling. You better hold to God's unchanging hand. You'd better hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. All your hopes they shall betray. Hold to Christ who ever was and is, and shall not pass away. You better hold to God's unchanging hand. You'd better hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. When our walk at last is ended, and before the throne we stand, kneel and kiss the hand that led you. Hold to His unchanging hand. Unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold